living longer and staying healthier. It's Healthy Talk with Dr. Michael Smith, MD. Here's your host, Dr. Mike.
I'm speaking here with Dr. Natalie Strand. She's co-author of A Woman's Guide to Diabetes, A Path to Wellness. You can check out her own personal site at drnatstrand.com. The book is available on Amazon. Before we get into owning your diabetes, Dr. Strand, how was the Amazing Race? What was that like?
That was an absolutely phenomenal experience. You know, for the listeners who haven't had a chance to see the Amazing Race, it's a race around the world. So we covered 32,000 miles in just 3 weeks. We went to sub-Saharan Africa. We went to the Arctic Circle. We visited Russia, the Middle East, Hong Kong, England. I mean, we went everywhere. So to do that with just a backpack and no money and no cell phone was absolutely a phenomenal adventure.
Yeah, I've watched it a few times, and when you're watching it, you actually feel the anxiety of the people in the race, because you guys are just, it seems like you're just so hectic and so moving around that you, that comes out in the show, and you actually can, in your living room, you kind of share a little bit of that anxiety. I don't know if I would do very well with that, but wow, what an amazing experience for you. Let's go back to the book, A Woman's Guide to Diabetes, A Path to Wellness, and you, throughout the book, you highlight this idea of owning your diabetes, O-W-N, right? So what does that really mean?
Well, you know, in a summary, it's just what it sounds like. It's owning it. It's not feeling ashamed of it or apologetic for it, but rather embracing it with sort of a neutral energy, the way you would embrace your hair color or where you were born. You know, it's not something to be ashamed of. And specifically, we say owning, you know, O stands for opening up about your diabetes and sharing your story. W stands for winning with diabetes, which does not mean having perfect blood sugars. It just means having that positive attitude and really taking on the challenge. And then N stands for never a victim, always a victor. And it's just keeping that mentality from, you know, diabetes doesn't own you. You actually own diabetes. So it's really just a different frame of thought that's a little bit more empowering for women.
So when you were on, you know, filming The Amazing Race, and I think, you know, what I want to do here is to relate this to maybe, you know, other stressful times in diabetics' lives, you know, divorces, loss of a loved one, change of a job. I mean, all of these are stressful times, and Amazing Race is obviously a stressful time for you. Did that affect how you owned your diabetes? Did you have to make conscious adjustments and medications? Did you have to watch more how you eat? How did stress, you know, affect your diabetes?
Well, stress can certainly make your blood sugars go up. And in addition to that, we were in a different time zone every day. So I'm on an insulin pump that infuses a different rate of insulin at different times of the day. So that was very challenging. I didn't know when my next meal was going to be. I certainly couldn't do my carbohydrate counting and weighing and measuring that I normally do at home. So it had a lot of variables. But I think one thing about owning your diabetes in stressful situations, such as the Amazing Race or a life-changing event, is to really draw upon the strength that diabetes may have given you. For example, you know, I was used to operating under stressful conditions. I was used to paying attention to details amidst a lot of distractions. I was used to sort of figuring out MacGyver techniques for dealing with situations based on my diabetes. And I felt like that skill set actually was a positive in the Amazing Race. So I would encourage women going through any major life events to draw upon what they've learned from diabetes, maybe to apply it, you know, to what it takes to get through a divorce or to get through another very stressful event in their life.
You know, so obviously to all of us, diabetic or not, exercise is so important, but to a diabetic, especially important. Do you find one type of exercise to be better for managing sugar, you know, aerobic versus anaerobic, you know, jogging versus weight training? Do you find any one better, or is it just we just got to be more active?
Well, just being more active is going to be a huge win, as you know, but I think whatever you can do consistently is going to be the easiest to figure out. So for me, just walking is a great one. Because while one day I might be super motivated to do a spin class, and then, you know, another day I might enjoy weight training, those are going to have very different effects on my blood sugar. But if you can walk a couple of miles every single day at the same time, something that you can really just keep consistent, that's not a huge goal, that's not maintainable, that's actually the best kind of exercise, is to make sure you get your 30 minutes a day. So I would say that walking is the one that drops my blood sugar the least, but it still increases my insulin sensitivity, and I find it very manageable to do on a daily basis.
So tell us a little bit about your diet, supplements that maybe you take that have helped you control your sugar levels.
Well, you know, I actually don't really take any supplements. I sort of subscribe to a low-carb, you know, maybe high-fiber, high-fat diet at the moment. I am 33 weeks into my pregnancy, so I'm fairly insulin-resistant right now, which is teaching me a whole nother way to manage diabetes. But for me, it's really sort of a simple philosophy of eating fresh, unprocessed foods, being educated. You know, I do weigh when I eat a piece of fruit. I do measure, you know, I bring out my measuring cups if I'm eating carbohydrates. And then, of course, I try to get a good dose of protein in every meal. So it's really a balanced and educated way to eat. I don't have any foods that are like absolute no's or absolute yeses. It's more about knowing if I want to have 40 grams of carbohydrate, I'm going to make sure that I measure and actually have 40 grams, rather than eating something like a bowl of cereal and just eyeballing it and saying, well, I don't know, that has 30 to 60 grams. So it's really just about knowing what you're consuming and being purposeful about it.
You know, it's interesting you mentioned the protein intake, which is obviously, I think, very important for diabetes. And, you know, some of the naturopathic doctors that I work with here at Life Extension, they promote, you know, a protein snack before bedtime. For some of their diabetics, they believe that helps to control the sugar a little bit in the morning. Have you ever tried that, or have you heard of that before?
I have, especially for women with diabetes who are struggling with low blood sugars overnight. Having a protein snack is going to give you a longer lasting effect rather than a carbohydrate that's going to spike quickly and then drop you. So having a snack with fat and protein may help stabilize blood sugars overnight, and it also might help you stay a little bit more full. So I certainly have snacks with protein before I go to bed, but everybody's needs are going to be a little bit different. If you're struggling with weight loss and you're struggling with higher blood sugars, you may not need to have that protein snack.
Gotcha. So let's, again, the book is titled A Woman's Guide to Diabetes, A Path to Wellness. It's available at Amazon.com. Dr. Natalie Strand has her own site called DrNatStrand.com. You know, with the last minute or so that's left, tell us a little bit about, I think it's called Diabetes Sisters. Is that right?
Yes. My co-author, Brandy, started a women's group called Diabetes Sisters. It's a women's support group that you can access online. They have local meetings. And it's just a way for you to meet other women living with diabetes and really share in whatever you're struggling with, but also in whatever strategies you've kind of used to triumph. So it's a wonderful organization. I've personally gone to several of the meetings, and I find them very, very empowering and inspirational. So if anybody's interested, please check out Diabetes Sisters. And again, that's my co-author, Brandy Barnes. She started it, and it's a fantastic group.
Is it an online group, or is it something you are they do they have groups in different cities? How is it set up?
They have groups in different cities called pods. So a pod leader, say in Phoenix, may organize groups to meet in Phoenix for monthly meetings. But they also travel around the country doing national conferences. So they'll do something on the West Coast, something on the East Coast. And there is a vibrant online community with newsletters and things of that nature. So there really are several different ways to connect with Diabetes Sisters.
Gotcha. So Diabetes Sisters, this is Dr. Natalie Strand. Wow, what a life you've been living. That's awesome. A Woman's Guide to Diabetes, A Path to Wellness, available at Amazon. You can check out Dr. Strand at DrNatStrand.com. And also, as I said, the Diabetes Sisters. Dr. Strand, thank you so much for all the work you're doing and for coming on. This is Healthy Talk on Radio MD. I'm Dr. Mike. Stay well.